If you have a Bible this morning, let's open it up to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And we're going to begin in verse 5. Now, I want to tell you, because sometimes preachers, we say things, we're always promising some different things, and sometimes it's like, well, how do I get there? But this morning, what if I told you that there was a way that you could be in this life preserved, kept, promoted, honored, delivered, had your years increase, that hindrances in front of you would be removed, and that you would be able to run without falling? Would you want that? Can I just ask, is that something you would desire from the Lord, right? Am I preaching alone? No, if you're new to Hope City Church, I'm an audience participation preacher. I preach better when you come hungry. So we do this thing together. So everything that I just said to you, we're going to outline today as a promise from God when you get a hold of something called wisdom in your life. Let's read it together. You ready? Proverbs 4, verse 5. Get wisdom. Hey, right from the top. Get understanding. Do not forget it, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. Now listen, for she will preserve you. What will preserve you? Wisdom. Love her, and she will keep you. I'm reading a different translation. Keep you. Wisdom is principle. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. She will deliver you. How many of you could use some deliverance this morning? If not, I'll call you out. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. There's that extension of years. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. And when you walk, your steps will not be hindered. There's that moving the hindrances. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instructions and do not let her go. Keep her, for she is your life. Come on. That's a lot of promises that are attached to one thing and one thing only. What is that? Wisdom, getting wisdom and walking in wisdom and understanding it. So the scripture is saying that wisdom here is the principal thing. It's the main thing, just to be clear on that, right? If you're getting anything, he says, get wisdom, get understanding. And we're not talking necessarily about being educated, and there's nothing wrong with that as long as it's a good education. We're not talking about being famous, and there's nothing wrong with that if you're doing it for the right reasons. We're not talking about being popular. We're not talking about being rich, but we're talking about being wise, having wisdom from God. When we started out this year, we started talking about this being a year of uncommon favor. Undeserved, unmerited favor that God would open for us a door this year, that we would begin to walk in supernatural, divine favor. Come on. I've seen it. I've been watching, you know. We can't tell you all of it, but just even, you know, this week alone, we signed two contracts for two new platforms for us to air our television ministry, to continue to take that even further. Somebody contacted us to, you know, we sell airtime. That's how we support the network outside of your giving. And, you know, so we're always, you know, promoting and trying to get new people to come on to buy airtime. And somebody messaged us and said, hey, you know, we want to take every pretty much free spot that you have open. And we're like, oh, okay, receive it, see. And I said to Tina in the office that I think we're being scammed. So we're going to give them the contract, but I think we're being scammed. And, they took a little bit to get back to us, and I thought, see, I told you. And this morning I woke up and they said, hey, by the way, we signed the contract, send us the link, and we'll start next month. And so it's an incredible boost for us and for the network and for what God's doing there. But it's uncommon. It's unmerited. Like, I had reached out to them 6 times over the years and it was no, 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 no. And suddenly, hey, we'll take everything that you have. I don't have a reason for that other than to say that the Lord has said we are walking in a season of unmerited favor. And when I say we, I'm talking about us as a collective church. I'm talking about you and in your life. And when you begin to expect to walk in unmerited, undeserved, uncommon favor, God's gonna begin to do it for you. So get your faith up, get your hope up, get your expectation. Come on, I know we're out of that message series, but this is a quick reminder that God is at work in your life. Expect the promotion. Expect the turnaround. Expect God to open doors that you thought could not open. All right, that's what we had to say about that. So this is a year of uncommon favor, but when we talked about that, we talked about how even Jesus in Luke 2:52, it says, Jesus increased with wisdom, stature, and favor with God and with man. We talked about how Jesus even had an anointing on him that caused him to walk in unmerited, undeserved favor. But I was reading that verse this week and I came back and I said, you know what? But he also increased in wisdom. So it was a twofold thing there. He not only increased in favor, but to coincide with that, he increased in wisdom. And I begin to say, Lord, how do we increase in wisdom? What does it look like for the church and for a believer to increase in wisdom? That's when he led me here to Proverbs 4, which has so much and so many promises attached to walking in wisdom. And many of you know the book of Proverbs is known as the wisdom book of the Bible. It's suggested that you read one proverb every day to kind of keep that motivation, that, you know, that wisdom coming to you. And Solomon, who authored this book with several other people contributing to it or helping him write, was the wisest man that they... Well, the Bible says that ever lived, so we'll just take the Bible's word for it, that he was the wisest man that ever lived. But how many of you know it is not just reserved for Solomon? Come on. We serve the giver of the wisdom. We serve the one who cried out for wisdom and God gave wisdom. So God's wisdom is available for everyone. So real quick, I want to give you 3 things that can block wisdom in your life. 3 things that block wisdom in your life, because to walk in something, we gotta be careful to not be aware of the things that can hold us back. Number one, blind spots will cause you to walk or to not walk in wisdom. Another word for blind spots, and I knew I needed to find a second word, but is ignorance. So I thought blind spots was better than ignorance, right? But blind spots will cause you to not walk in wisdom. You know what that looks like? People think they know, but they don't really know what they don't know. Come on. Thinking you know literally hinders you from knowing. Why? Because when you think you know a subject or you think you know a topic or you think you know how it works, you have literally stopped yourself from receiving any new intel or information about that thing. Why do you know about that? I always tell people, you know, one of the greatest barriers of people receiving things from the Lord in a worship service is the preconceived idea, oh, I've heard that before. I've heard that scripture. And as soon as you move into, I think I know that scripture. I've already read it. I got everything out of it that I can ever get out of it. Come on. What you have done is you have literally just stopped wisdom from increasing in your life because you put a barrier up that says, I already know that. Come on. You can read the same scripture 1,000 times and all of a sudden on 1,001, new life illuminates from the pages of that book and can totally give you revelation and breakthrough into your life. So blind spots are created when we approach a thing by saying, I already know that, or I know how it works. Come on. There's a little saying that we say in our house, or at least between Sarah and I, and it's, you're not doing what you think you're doing. And yeah. When we first started doing some recordings and there was one that was just a total disaster. It was just a total mess. And we just have this sense of humor. And I sent her the video. I said, now you need to give me your honest feedback. And she said, listen, you're not doing what you think you're doing. So it has kind of become this little saying in our house. Listen, you're not doing what you think you're doing. But that is so true when it comes to wisdom. Because again, when we think we know what we're doing, we put a barrier up that stops any additional growth or input or strategy changes or life changes because I already have this. So be careful that you're not living in blind spots. Be careful that you're not living in a way where it's like, I already know, I've already mastered it, I've got it. John Wayne said it best when he said, life is tough, it's much tougher if you're stupid. And come on, that's the reality, right?
Yes.
Have you ever been stupid in your own life? And you realize, man, I just made this thing a whole lot tougher. And you take a tough situation and you make it more difficult. And come on, if you have children, you can watch them do that. If you have friends in your world and you're like, I don't know why they're doing it. I'm telling them. But come on, when you're talking to somebody with blind spots, come on. They don't have no business being in that relationship, but they've got some blind spots. All right, I'm gonna move on. Proverbs 4:7, get some wisdom. We need some wisdom. So blind spots will keep you from walking and receiving wisdom. Number two, pride. Pride is the number one thing to keep you from receiving wisdom. Pride means to not have a teachable posture or a teachable spirit. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. With humility comes wisdom. Be careful to never let pride get in the way. Pride says, I know better than God. You don't frame it that way. You don't verbally say that out loud. When Abraham was promised a child at 99 years old and the promise was yet to come, he didn't sit there and say, you know what, Sarah, we know better than God, and here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna take up one of your servants and then I'm gonna have a child with the servants and I'll help God out, right? He didn't say, I know better than God. But really what he was doing is he was exalting himself in pride because God hadn't come through for him yet. And his actions said that he knew better than God. So very few of us will say, well, I know better than God. But our actions, if our actions aren't aligned with this book, come on, then our actions are saying we know better than God. Come on, the book said all life, everything you need are found in these pages. And when we neglect to dive into this book and read this book and live our lives based on the principles of this book, guess what we're saying? I know better than God. Oh, I'll take the redemption, I'll take the cross, I'll take the eternal life, but now talking about tithing, I don't want to do that one. Or talking about being kind and long-suffering, I don't want to do that one. What are you doing? You're saying, in the area of my finances, I know better than God. In the area of forgiveness, I know better than God. Come on. And that's pride. Now, again, most of us won't sit there and reason and say, you know what? I think I've upped God on the forgiveness game. I think I cannot forgive this person because it was so severe. But in that choice, your choice and your activity says, I know better than God. But come on. But the humble receive wisdom. That's why when we get saved, we just don't get saved. We come under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Why? That is the antidote for the spirit of pride. Lordship. You know, there's a difference between being a property owner and a renter. A renter has restrictions on what they can do to the property. Why? Because it doesn't belong to them. You want to paint it? Great. You got to get permission. You want to remodel? Wonderful. You got to get permission. You own it. Do whatever you want to do. Have it as ugly as you want to have it. Come on. But when you're renting, you got to get permission. When you came to an altar somewhere and gave your life to Christ, you said, you take my life, yours, surrendered. It now belongs to you, which means my rights have now shifted from being an owner to a renter, which means I can't just do any old thing that I want to do. I have to bring it all under the lordship, the ownership of Jesus Christ, and say, here's what I would like to do, Father. Am I able to do this? And in the pages of this book, you will find yes or you will find no. But come on, when the owner shows up and you put an addition on that they never approved. All right. So the antidote for a spirit of pride is coming again under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And I don't care who you are, this has to be a daily thing. This is, we all start wondering in our own way, but that's why the Bible says in all your ways acknowledge him. Why? Because it you don't get very far before you start wondering in your own direction, in your own way. And what do we got to do? We got to come back under the lordship of Jesus Christ and say, Father, forgive me from where I went astray. Forgive me for the addition. Forgive me for moving in somebody that had no place moving in. Forgive me for all that. And come on, I'm bringing my life back under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Why? Because you are the owner. You know the way. Wisdom is from you. So be humble. Be curious in life. Don't be prideful. Don't be have this essence of arrogance and resist it and have to be the know-it-all in the room. Come on, when you're humble, there's a sense of wonder and exploration about you. Like you're curious. There's more to know and more to experience and more to discover. That's why your Bible says, consider the heavens and the works of my hands. Why? Because I can know what I think I know, but when it really comes down to the universe and how it all happens and how it all spins and how it all works and one degree shifted, the entire planet would be totally destroyed. When I consider that, I don't know what I know. Come on, somebody. You don't know what you know. Like we can't even measure the ends of our universe. We can't even grasp, we can't even get there. Like try to like determine and explain to somebody what a black hole is. My son Jeremiah asked me that a few weeks ago. And as soon as you think you know what you know, try having your kid come home and ask you something in their schoolwork that you don't know. And in our house, it's probably something to do with math. And Jeremiah is great at math. Sarah and I are not. And he has already, at 9 years old, surpassed our understanding sometimes. Thank God for Google. But but a humble person has that essence of exploration and wonder. That God, teach me more. Show me more. I want to learn more. Give me wisdom. Give me insight. And the moment that you arrive and you say, I know what I know, you've moved into pride and you miss out on what God is wanting to do. The third thing that will keep you from walking in wisdom, are you ready for it? It's the most challenging one yet. Emotions. Here's the thing about wisdom. Wisdom doesn't care about your feelings. Say it over here. Wisdom doesn't care about your feelings. Has anybody ever made an impulse purchase that you've regretted later on? And wisdom was written all over the thing, walk away. But there was a feeling. There was a turning in your belly. I want it. I have to have it. I can't live without it. That's why they say if you were going to make a big purchase, walk away from it for a few days and come back. Why? Because typically the emotions wear off and wisdom kicks in. And here's the thing about wisdom. It doesn't care how you feel. Now, this is a total opposite of what our society would say is important, right? Society says, well, if you want it and you feel it, get it. Go for it. It'll make you happy. Get it. But what we have found and what wisdom will tell you is those feelings of happiness are fleeting. The new relationship will make you happy for a little bit until it doesn't. The new car makes you happy for a little bit until your kids throw McDonald's all over the back of it and then it doesn't. Come on. You thought the promotion would make you happy until you got the additional workload, and then it doesn't. Wisdom doesn't care about your feelings. And often when wisdom is presented to you through a counselor, through a parent, through a friend, through a pastor, it might make you mad or uncomfortable. It might, let me put it in today's words, it might trigger you. You know what I say to that? Get triggered. Be triggered. God don't care if you're triggered. Do you want to live a godly life or not? Do you want all of those promises? Do you want to be preserved? Do you want to be kept? Do you want to be promoted? Do you want to be honored? Do you want to be delivered? Do you want your years extended? Do you want to be able to walk without hindrances? Do you want to run and not be able to stumble? If you want all of that, listen to wisdom and ignore your feelings. But if you don't want those things, then do whatever it is you feel like doing. That's what I always tell people. They come in and say, well, yeah, the pastor's talking about money, trying to raise money. Listen, I always say, if you don't want to give, then don't give. I've been pastoring for 20 years and he's always brought us through. He's always made a way. I have learned a long time ago, they come and they go, but they're not my source. Jesus is the owner of the church and he's the source. So I've stopped trying to convince people to give, and I just say, this is what the Bible says about it. Do it or don't do it. But you reap the results. And outside of your giving, you want to be a mean, ugly, angry person, bitter all the time? I'm going to show you in this book that your life can be amazing if you lay that junk down. If you start forgiving people, if you start walking in love, if you start getting into your word, you start praying. But if you don't want to do it, it's not my job to come knocking on your door. Did you get in your Bible today? You better be in your Bible today. If you're not, come on. You open the book if you want to open the book. Why? Because you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Sharon and I are talking about the lives this week, about the faith of other people and how even the man who they lowered through the roof, and how it's like the faith of his friends got him in front of Jesus. But he had to receive it. Like, you can pray somebody to Jesus, but if they don't want it, there ain't nothing you can do about it. So wisdom doesn't care about feelings. Wisdom will trigger you. Wisdom will often feel like a slap in the face. But the goal is to always choose wisdom above our emotions. I'm preaching to me. Come on. Wisdom says, have good eating habits. Monday, we're going to start. I know. Listen, this past week there was a day I said, all right, I'm gonna fast today. Started out good, and the next day I had seen somebody, and they said, hey, how'd your fast go yesterday? And I said, listen, by 2 o'clock, a pack of licorice took me out. It was done. I did all that I could do, and it took me out. I don't know what else to say. But wisdom says, I don't care how hungry you are, you set your mind and you follow through. Wisdom says, be the first to apologize in your marriage. Wisdom says, when a believer gets it wrong, what does a believer do? Come on, I've been preaching this. We make it right. When a believer gets it wrong, a believer makes it right. Wisdom, though it has triggered you, though it has offended you, wisdom says you stay in the room. Wisdom says you stay in the conversation. Wisdom says you ask questions until you understand what wisdom is trying to produce in your life. Feelings and emotions say, well, I'm going to run from that voice. And here's what I've often found is when people don't want wisdom, they will often run to the voices that feed their feelings and run from the voices speaking wisdom. And there's very limited things that you can do about that. And I will say, as a believer, it is our go-to to keep calling and saying, but what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Fix it, fix it, fix it, fix it. But I look at as we talked about last week, the prodigal son. The father just stayed in his house and watched the road. Why? Because the son had to come to the end of himself. He had to get to a place where he said, I've followed my feelings. I've followed my emotions. I've rejected wisdom. And now there's nowhere left to go. But come on, when you know Jesus, you know where to find wisdom. Here's the thing about Solomon. Solomon wasn't born the wisest man in the world, right? He wasn't the wisest man in the world, even when he became king. But your Bible says that he was fully devoted to the Lord. And as the son of David, he grew up watching his dad worship and praise God. And he led the nation in honoring God repeatedly. And I'm not gonna have the time to read all this today, but it's found in 2 Chronicles 1-7. But he leads again the nation of Israel to cry out to God. And God says to Solomon, he says, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Whatever you want, ask and I'll give it. All right. You got your wish list, Paula? Okay. I want that new car. I want that house. I want my bank account full. That's my new truck. Come on. I got my list. You got your list? But Solomon responded and said, give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people. Come on. And you know what God responded and said? Since this is your heart's desire, and you didn't ask me for wealth, possessions, or honor, or death of your enemies. Come on, how many of you would have that from the top? Since you did not ask me for a long life, but for wisdom. Can I just say, everything he didn't ask for is everything that's promised that is attached to wisdom. Yes, amen. That's right. Come on. Since you have not asked me, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given to you. And in addition, wealth, possessions, and honor. The Bible goes on to say that no king before nor after. Now, I take every word of the Bible literally. I do. So when it says no king after has had the wealth of Solomon, I look at every reigning royal government, even on earth today, still would not compare to the wealth that Solomon had. And how did he get it? How did he obtain it? Because above all, he said, God, give me wisdom. Let me know what to do and when to do it. Let me know how to lead. Let me know how to steward things well. And God said, listen, when you do, when you get wisdom, when you walk in wisdom, when you're intentional and we're not making quick decisions and we're over here and then this, and come on, you've been in the church long enough, you've met some, you know, we call fruit, nuts, and flake Christians, where it's like, you know, I've met him. Well, God told me to come to your church. Well, great. Well, welcome. 2 weeks later, you know what? God told me to go over here. Okay. Well, God's very confused. Or we've known people like that, right? And in your world, like God's like, must be very confused. Why? Because they're living out of their emotions and not out of wisdom. So what do? Every decision, we acknowledge the Lord. We say, Lord, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to respond to this email today? Not every email, but you don't understand what I'm saying, the challenging ones. He might say, wait. There have been so many times I wish I waited on sending the email. Anybody else? So wisdom is the master key to all the treasures of life. Wisdom brings with it honor and wealth and blessing. Wisdom transforms lives, decisions, and outcomes. Our lives with wisdom are completely different than lives without wisdom. So how do we get wisdom? This is great, but how do we get it? Number one, the fear of the Lord, the Bible says, is the beginning, the starting place of wisdom. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. There's a lot of confusion around that verse of meaning the fear of the Lord, but really it means being in awe of God. It means this reverence and respecting God. And when you have reverence and honor and respect for God, you will align your life choices with His will. Think about it this way. If life is like a chessboard and you have the master of chess sitting beside you, whispering in your ear the next move to take, and you purposely say, I'll move this one over here. That would be crazy, wouldn't it? But that's what we do. When we have the author of the universe who stood on nothing and spoke a word. You know, the Bible actually says wisdom was there when the Lord created the heavens and the universe. Like, He created all of this out of wisdom. Like, He did all of that. He holds everything in the, like the earth, the Bible says, is His footstool. And we wouldn't consult Him on the direction of our lives. But when you hear the Master speak, when you pause long enough to listen, come on, when you get in your prayer time and you're just putting out your list of commands and complaints to God, I encourage you, add some time to listen. Open up this book. Listen, if you're new to this thing and you're like, I don't know where that verse of scripture is, there's a great little feature on most phones called Google. And all you have to say is, Google, give me every scripture about healing. Google, and she'll find it for you and give it to you. And you consult it and you read it. And you base your decision and you base your life of whatever this book says. Why? Because again, that's bringing your life under the lordship of Jesus Christ. That fear of the Lord is that acknowledgement that He's bigger than me. He's God. He is sovereign. He is over the universe. And I wouldn't want to do anything outside of His will. Sometimes we get too comfortable in our relationship with God. Well, I'll do it and He'll forgive me. And it's all right, God will just fix it. And we just preach this gospel that says, I'll live however I want to live and do whatever I want to do. And then God will just clean up the mess after me because He wants me to be happy. He does want you happy. Long term. He wants you to look back over the scope of your life and say, you know what? That was a life well lived. I made hard choices. I said some no to some things. Some decisions were hard and I had to walk away, but it always produced the joy of the Lord in my life. Come on, somebody. In relationships, wisdom is crucial. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. I want to bring this out because you cannot hang around the foolish people or foolish people and not be affected by it. Foolishness is like secondhand smoke. You can't be in the room with it and not have it influence you. Listen, people in your life might be fun, but it doesn't mean that they're wise. And here's, if you can get this, this will help you so much. Not everyone who is good to you is good for you. But what do we want? We want to navigate to those who are good to us. We want to navigate to those who are fun. We want to navigate to those who make us feel happy. But I have preached this and preached this and preached this. If their end game is not the same as yours, if their end purpose isn't to stand in front of a holy God and hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant, then you need to be careful. Because it won't be too long before their influences are wrecking your life. Having the fear of the Lord means going to the text and applying it to your life. And cutting out what needs to be cut. That's why Philippians 4:8 says, again, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there's anything of excellence and praiseworthy, think about such good things. Why? It's important with what you are surrounding yourself with. It's important what media you're taking in. It's important what you're listening to. It's important. So we don't just read it. We're not just hearers of the word, we're doers of the words. This is why, listen, this is why we gather on Sunday mornings. This is why we gather in groups, like the Twilight group and the youth group and all the other things that we have going on. Why? Because what we do collectively, this is why we're opening up Wednesday nights, because what we do collectively is we gather around and we open this book and we say, teach me wisdom. Teach me how to make a right decision. Teach me how to walk in the ways of the Lord. It's been a week. The world's told me everything but up. Come on, teach me. I gotta know it. I have to live it. I have to walk in the ways of the Lord. I wanna see my days extended. I wanna see blessing in my life. I wanna see honor in my life. I wanna see prosperity in my life. But it's only coming on the back of wisdom. That's why, you know, we were talking with some people yesterday. Is you can't produce hunger. Only God can. But it's like we get sometimes, as I said earlier, so comfortable with God. And we think we know what we know. And the minute we get there, our lives stop moving forward. And it's like as a church, our main purpose, I've told you before, the word that the Lord spoke to me was release as much teaching from this house as humanly possible. And our response to that was said, fine, we'll do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week until Jesus comes. And that's what we're doing. And that's why we're bringing Wednesday nights. It's not that I'm bored Wednesdays. And I said, you know what? I'll just try to get everybody to come out and entertain me on Wednesday. That's not. It's because as the world gets louder and those voices scream louder, what seems right suddenly seems wrong. And now what seems wrong suddenly seems right. And the world will scream at you if you're walking for Jesus that you are crazy and you're living life wrong. You're doing it wrong. All while they are on a highway to hell. So that's why Jesus said even more as that great day approaches, we got to get ourselves into the house of God. Why? Because we got to get in the book. We got to encourage one another. We got to hear what God says. We got to say, you know what? We are living this thing right. We are obeying the word of God. This is the way of the Lord. Even more as that day approaches, what do? We lean in. We don't back up. We lean in. I'll say this in closing, and team, you can come, but wisdom is more focused on who you are becoming, what you are currently accomplishing. Proverbs 3:13 says, blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. How many of you want something that yields better returns than gold? The Bible said wisdom. Wisdom. What we like to focus on are the now things. All right, God, give me the promotion. I'm gonna do what I can do till I get to the promotion. God, give me the position. Give me the recognition. Give me the breakthrough. Give me the finances. But God's looking at us and he's saying, I'm not necessarily concerned about what you're building now. I'm more concerned about what you're becoming. I'm concerned about what you're becoming. So sometimes God will hold off on the now because he says, you're not ready for that. I've often heard it said that God makes the man before he makes the ministry. And sometimes God's trying to make you before you get there. Like single people in the room. You can think back to, and if you're married, you can think back to your single days where for some, it was like the premier thought, like it, you know, of who am I gonna marry? Are they the one? Are they the one? Are they the one? Like try to going to a Christian Bible college. Like, come on, it's all it is. There's some Bible in there too, I guess, but are you the one? Are you the one? Are you the one? Instead of saying, you know what? Lord, make me the one. Make me better. Make me desirable to somebody else. Fill me with wisdom. So what do? We look on the accomplishments and we say, great, now I'm there. And God says, I'm not about your accomplishments. I'm about who you are becoming. Solomon asked for wisdom and everything else followed. Moms and dads. We don't focus on the church, on the accomplishments. We focus on who we are becoming. Today I want to pray that if you're in the room today, you can say, Pastor, first of all, I've never come under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Then I want to submit to you that you have a decision to make. And the worst thing that I could do is try to emotionally hype you up to make a decision based off of your feelings that you will have no follow through with. And you think you're on your way to heaven, but you're just as lost as you ever were. But what I can do today is I can ask you to make a decision. And that decision is to put yourself under the lordship of Jesus Christ, which means it's going to hurt. And he's going to say no. And it's going to trigger you. But you're making a decision to say, Lord, for the rest of my days, I submit my life to you. I give it to you. It's no longer mine, but it will belong to you. And I'll do everything within my power to live that life that you've called me to live. If that's you, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to count to three. And when I do, I want you to slip up your hand. Because the Bible says how you make that decision is by believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. And I want to lead you in a prayer, acknowledging that Jesus is the way to heaven and inviting him into your heart. And the Bible says at the conclusion of that prayer, you will be as sure for heaven as if you're already there. Why? Because you listened to wisdom and you made the best decision of your life. But nobody else can do it for you. I can lead you to the water, but I can't make you drink. So if that's you this morning, and I'm not going to do anything to embarrass you, I just want to acknowledge that you're praying this with me. If that's you, go ahead and put up your hand. Ready? 1, 2, 3. If that's you, go ahead and slip your hand up. All right, so we're going to pray this. Everyone pray this together. Say, Heavenly Father, I come before you right now and I confess that I'm a sinner and that I need a Savior. And I acknowledge that you are the only way to heaven. So today I make the decision. I make the choice to surrender my life and give you full control. Lead me, guide me, give me wisdom, give me understanding. Be my God, and I'll be your people. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that right now, in the name of Jesus, I am saved. Amen, amen. Come on, put your hands together for those who received this morning. Now, wisdom says you don't make a decision without follow through. Stop by Connections, get a box that says no God, or scan the QR code on the seat back in front of you. If you're watching online, you can do the same. Hit the no God tab on our website. We want to put some resources in your hand to help you. Now, let's stand to our feet together. And I want to pray a prayer with everybody in the room this morning. How many of you want preserved? If you do, I want you to respond and say, I do. How many of you want preserved? How many of you want kept? How many of you want promoted? How many of you want to be honored? How many of you want to be delivered? How many of you want your years on earth extended? How many of you want to be able to walk without being hindered? How many of you want to run without stumbling? Then let's pray this prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you now, in the name of your precious son, Jesus, to give me wisdom. Help me base every decision off of your word. My heart seeks to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life. So I thank you now in the name of Jesus that I've received wisdom and I will pursue it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you believed you received it in the name of Jesus, go ahead and put your hands together. Now, it may just wake you up in the middle of the night and smack you across the face, but probably not. It probably, receiving probably looks like opening this book and getting in it. It probably looks like saying, hey, wait, honey, before we buy that, let's consult the Lord. Hey, before we correct our kids in that way, let's consult the Lord and let's ask God. And that's how you follow wisdom. In Jesus' name.